Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Stephen. Great. And it's great to be with you again on Sunday night to study God's Word. And the last couple of weeks, we did a lesson from the book of Acts about Cornelius and Peter and Gentiles and Jews and Holy Spirit falling on everybody. And
a lot of stuff.
And yeah, and it was pretty cool that Peter says now he understands that there's no partiality. You know, the kingdom is for everyone.
Amen.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. But today we're going to do something a little different. And
we are?
Yes.
Okay.
No more Cornelius. And no more Peter. Well, we might mention them, but they're not going to be here in the studio.
Possibly.
They're not going to be in the studio with us.
Okay.
But Paul is always in the studio with us, so maybe we should set a microphone up for him. No.
Maybe.
Anyway, this week and next week for sure, we're going to be, and maybe even the following week, who knows how long this will go on, because the Lord has really been impressing on me that we need to talk a little bit more about the world that we're living in now. And we're going to use a few scriptures as we kind of go through a very important series of things that God tells the scripture writers that of what happens when covenants are broken and when people don't follow and when people get cavalier and when people get careless and when people rebel. And I think everyone listening now will agree, at least those of you that are over the age of about 45, that things have changed dramatically in this world over the last 25 years, 20 years, certainly 30 years, and certainly have changed a lot since I was a kid. And there's a darkness and there's a rebellion over the world in the sense of people have turned away from God, and our nation has certainly turned away from God. And, you know, he's not to be mentioned and he's not to be talked about anywhere. And he's, you know, even a prayer in a public place is now essentially illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have, for the first time in history, the federal government interfering with a church,
yeah,
or group of churches in what they believe and telling them they have to do something that they don't believe in.
Right.
This is unprecedented. And you see the public outcry against, not for, but against things that have been traditional Judeo-Christian morality,
right,
for however many thousands of years now,
right,
that the scriptures have been written. And we've really come to a point of rebellion. And we can argue about, you know, the president now says this is no longer a Christian nation, and he's saying it proudly. We're saying it sadly.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and you can argue about, were the founding fathers, you know, observant Christians, were they really Christian? But they built this government, they built this country on Judeo-Christian principles.
Right.
And that churches were allowed to flourish, and you could go to whatever church you wanted, and God was always, every president mentioned God in speeches, and everywhere you went, there was a prayer before a football game, and,
right,
you know, it didn't matter whether you went to the Lutheran church or the Presbyterian church or the Catholic church or the synagogue or wherever you went, there was freedom of religion, but there was also prayer.
Right.
And now that's changed.
Right. You bring up something that what we're going to talk about is, I think, very important. I think it's important for people to understand that the oppression of freedom of religion is so critical to our freedom as a people,
mm-hmm,
and as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not making other people believe in God. You can't force somebody to believe in God.
Right.
You can share the good news with them, but it's really up to them to come to that,
right,
place of, you know, accepting the gift,
yes,
of salvation. But it's proclaiming the gospel and not allowing someone to take away your freedom that's been given by the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And that that freedom that we have in God, I think really came to light when, probably about 12 years ago, my wife and I went over to Europe for a pilgrimage. And in the land of Croatia, we were there, and Croatia was basically a Protestant, communist country. And they were having some prayer services on outside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the authorities came in and arrested the people because you couldn't have a prayer service on the property of state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the person that was telling us this, the guide, when he said that, I thought, wow, we think we have a lot of freedom in this country, but yet if you put a manger or a creche scene on the square in the city, mm-hmm. it's the property of state.
Yes.
Take it down.
Yes.
And that was 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the way Satan works is encroachment happens a little bit at a time.
Sure.
A little bit at a time. But now we start to see that things are really mm-hmm. kind of ratcheting up.
Accelerating.
Yeah.
I mean, can look back 10 years, look how different things are.
Right.
And I can look back a lot more years than that, and it's really unbelievable. And I don't have the scripture in front of me, but I keep thinking about that verse in Revelation where it says that when Satan knows his time is short, he gets aggressive.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that now because the intensity of the debate is now, I mean, it's not even a debate anymore.
Right.
Now, if you stand for Judeo-Christian morality, if you stand for scripture, if you stand for Jesus, even if you stand for God in a more generic sense, boy, the other side is at you tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that recently with the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other side, let's call it, although I don't want to talk about sides, but, you know, we have freedom of speech in this country.
Right.
But as Christians, our freedom of speech is being limited.
Mm-hmm.
And now the government is starting to interfere with how a church operates.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's going to be the next step?
Right. And, you know, a lot of people talk about tolerance and being tolerant about situations and accepting and loving. Mm-hmm. Loving someone without discipline is not love at all.
Yes.
Yeah. There's structure, there's discipline, and there's, you know, there's rules and regulations in our society, but mm-hmm. there's also rules and regulations that God handed down to Moses.
Yes.
From the generations.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that in some detail, but that's the key of it. You know, and I talk to people all day long and people say to me, well, who are you to say?
Mm-hmm.
That's your opinion.
Yeah.
Say, well, I'm not the one who set this rule up. I'm not the one who wrote this book. I'm telling you, this is God's law.
Mm-hmm.
This has been undisputed in all the history of the Judeo-Christian morality.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, morality is whatever you want to make it.
And a lot of this really didn't just happen. I mean, it's been happening ever since the Age of Enlightenment.
Sure.
You know, gradually over time, it's taken its toll on the course it has been on.
But we're going to go through some scriptures that are going to illustrate this and are going to look at how God sees this and how he sends people to speak for him in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
And in our day and age, those people are us. You know, we're going to talk about Moses and we're going to talk about a couple of prophets. And, you know, they're biblical characters and they were awesome. And, you know, they have books, you know, Moses wrote 5 books and the other prophets we're going to talk about each have a book. And we're not going to have books.
Did you write a book?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Okay.
We're not going to have books that are included in the canon of scripture. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Right.
But we are the people that are here now for this time. You know, in the book of Esther, mm-hmm. it says we're here for such a time as this.
Right.
And the reason we were created and put here is that we're here for this time and in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to stand on truth and we have to stand on the rock of the scripture because it's slipping away.
Right.
And even in many churches, it's slipping away.
Yeah.
And as we see churches become more and more like the world, instead of the world becoming more and more like the churches.
Right.
You can see were kind of going over the moral cliff. And many places that were traditional teachers of Christianity have now become tolerant, and that's in italics, tolerance to the point of, well, you know, whatever people want to do, and, you know, we don't want anybody to feel bad, and so therefore we don't want to talk about this, and it goes on and on and on in a faster and faster way.
Yeah. Well, you know, even in the I think it's either in Deuteronomy or Exodus, where God's giving the Israelites the law, and he's telling them, you don't add to this, you don't subtract
right.
from it.
Yes.
Because by it, the nations will see this is an intelligent people.
Yes.
And also that their God walks with them.
Yes.
And that they would be the light to the nations. And this was the purpose of Israel.
Yes.
Of the Israelites. And that has not changed. Being a light to the nations has not changed mm-hmm. for anybody who follows Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's a good point, because God's law doesn't change.
Right.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two is when you follow that law, he's talking about the Israelites, the covenant people, the nation of Israel, mm-hmm. you know, all the whatever you want to call this group of people. He was their God. He gave them a covenant
right.
and said, here's our covenant. If you do this, I will be your God. You will be my people.
Right.
And people are going to say, wow, that mm-hmm. nation is really awesome. Their God is really awesome.
Right.
And even the pagans around them are going to say, wow, those Israelites really mm-hmm. are doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're going to follow his law. They're supposed
right.
to follow his law.
Right.
But as we're going to see, there was rebellion.
Yes. As there is today.
Even more so than, oh, let's pick a new leader and go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
Because what are we doing out here?
Yeah.
And we've gone over all that. But anyway.
I think we're going to see how it ties into our circumstances in our day and age today.
Yes. And we're going to tie this up, and it might take 2 weeks. It may take 3 weeks. I don't know. Might take more. Might take less. I don't know. But anyway, I think we should start it out with a reading from 1 Thessalonians, and then we're going to go into some examples in the Old Testament and then some examples in the New Testament. And then we're going to talk about how those things apply to our country, our world today. So, Stephen, why don't you read what you have there from 1 Thessalonians?
This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Concerning times and seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night. When people are saying, peace and security, then sudden disaster comes upon them, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, for that day to overtake you like a thief. For all of you are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us stay alert and be sober. Those who sleep go to sleep at night, and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet that is hope for salvation. For God did not destine us for wrath, but to gain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, as indeed you do.
Mm. Ooh, a day of judgment coming like a thief in the night.
Mm-hmm.
When people say peace and security, that's when you have to be careful.
Yeah.
That's when it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Our culture now says, oh, what's the big deal about that? We have to be tolerant of that. These people have the same, just because they believe this is the same as what you believe. Everything is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's moral equivalent. It's morally relative. Everybody's right in their own way, and everything is fine. Look, we've been doing all this stuff, and nothing's happened. Everything is fine.
Right.
We have peace and security. We're building a city of man.
Yes.
If we have enough laws, no one's going to get hurt. Nobody's going to be offended. Everybody's going to be happy. Nobody's going to be poor. Everybody's going to be good.
Yep.
We just have enough rules and let everybody do what they want to do. We can legislate this into existence.
Right.
And we're going to put it all together. It's kind of a, you know, a human utopia.
Right.
But the only thing we can't have in this is Jesus. We can't have any of this Christian stuff.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of stuff about Buddha that's really nice, and there's a lot of stuff about Krishna that's really nice. There's a lot of stuff from Islam that's really nice, and there's a lot of stuff from any of these other things that you can mention that are really nice and are actually preferable to what we've had in the past, but we can't have this Jesus stuff because it's judgmental, it's narrow-minded, and it's bigotry.
Yeah. And, you know, what comes to mind is from Wisdom, a reading from Wisdom, and this is chapter 2, verse 12. The wicked says, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hands of his foes."
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's why the culture at large, the media, the entertainment industry, they don't want to hear a Christian say, "What you're saying is wrong."
No. They don't want the
president of Chick-fil-A to say, "This is wrong, and this makes the land desolate."
Right.
"This makes the land defiled."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a voice crying out.
Right.
Where everybody says, "Ha, ha, ha, what are you talking about? You're just a bigot."
Yeah.
And we're going to use a couple of examples of a couple of prophets that had exactly the same experience.
The prophets of old?
The prophets of old. One real old, one a little bit less old. But we're going to go back. I just want to do a reading in Deuteronomy chapter 29. And in most Bibles, it's verses 23 to 28.
Are we having trouble with the verses again?
No, this is not Joel.
Okay.
This is Deuteronomy.
Sorry.
And the background of this is the people are just about to enter the land. It's written, the book of Deuteronomy, which is, of course, the second law, it's the fifth book of Moses, and it's kind of narrated. It's Moses narrating it rather than God narrating it. And Moses is speaking, and they are just about to go into the land. They're on the plains of Moab. They can see the promised land of Canaan in the distance, and God kind of has wrapped everything up. The original people that left Egypt have died, except for Joshua and Caleb, and Moses is still alive at this point but is about to die.
Right.
And God says, "If you keep my covenant, if you follow my laws, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. If you violate my laws, there's going to be consequences. If you violate my laws a lot, there's going to be more consequences. Mm-hmm. If you violate them completely, the land is going to be defiled. The land is going to be devastated, and you're going to be exiled."
Right.
And that has happened three times that we're going to talk about. Ooh, I hear Marty Goetz coming.
Is he here today?
He's been on our show twice, but he's not here today.
Okay.
So we're going to let you listen to a little bit of Marty Goetz as we take a break, and we'll be back on Gift of Grace on the Word 1220.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you ordain, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? How excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name. And the avenger, you still with the praises of singers, the infants and babes whom you ordain. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name. Your name, given so freely for us to claim, the name of Jesus.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before the break, I was about to read from Deuteronomy 29, 23 to 28, and I set the background for it, but the scripture says, "The whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning. It is not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. All nations would say, 'Why has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean?' Then the people would say, 'Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods that they did not know, and that he had not given to them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land."
Wow.
That's exile. Wow. So this is kind of the background in Deuteronomy, and this has happened three times to the people. It happened once in the northern kingdom of Israel, which we're going to talk about in a second. We're going to use an example from the prophet Amos. Then it happened to the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. We're going to use an example from the prophet Jeremiah. And then it happens in the New Testament after Jesus himself gives the ultimate prophecy of this happening. And because he's rejected by the people, by the leaders, and the majority of the people, then the ultimate exile takes place.
Yeah.
And so we're going to start in the book of Amos. Now, this takes place, and I hope you're all familiar, at least generally, with the history of the historical parts of the Bible. The kingdom has split at this point. There's the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom has kind of gone off with a bunch of evil kings, and they are pretty much, they're doing a lot of idolatry. They have their holy city at Bethel instead of Jerusalem. They've got their own priests. It's pretty much of a disaster. They've built, worship places on high grounds, which you're not supposed to do according to the Torah. And they've kind of gotten a nice setup going. They got a good economy going. They don't care about the Sabbath because you know, they want to do some business on the Sabbath, and all these things are going on. And then this weird guy, Amos, shows up. And we're not going to do a study on Amos, although that would be good, too. He goes from Judah. The Lord tells him to go and prophesy in Israel. And he's in the city of Bethel, which is their holy city. And it's where the priests live. And he has a vision from the Lord in chapter 7. And this is Amos 7, verses 7 to 9. Why don't you read that, Steve?
Okay. This is what the Lord God showed me. He was standing, plummet in hand, by a wall built with a plummet. The Lord God asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" And I answered, "A plummet." Then the Lord said, "See, I am laying the plummet in the midst of my people Israel. I will forgive them no longer. The high places of Isaac shall be laid waste, and the sanctuaries of Israel made desolate. And I will attack the house of Jeroboam with the sword."
In other words, here we have God's patience has been exhausted.
Yeah.
Here's this group, this nation, part of his people. These are the covenant people mm-hmm. that have been involved in idolatry, unethical behavior, immoral behavior, have been just totally nonchalant about all of this, cavalier about all this, done whatever they've wanted to do. And this guy shows up and says, he sees the Lord with a plumb line. Now, you know, if you've ever done any kind of construction work, a plumb line is a string with a weight on it, and you hold it up, the weight falls down, so it's a straight up and down line
mm-hmm.
because of gravity. And so the string is an up and down line between your hand and the earth.
Right.
So God is saying, okay, let's see what's plumb around here. Let's see what's perfectly perpendicular. Let's see what lines up with my word.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Nothing here's lining up with my word. Uh-oh. So my patience has been exhausted. I have a plumb line in the midst of my people, and it looks really bad. So what's going to happen is the high places are going to be desolate. The sanctuaries are going to be laid waste, and there's going to be a sword against his own people. It's going to be a sword against them. There's going to be judgment coming to these people because they have adopted a way of living which is against the covenant. They have adopted a way of worship which is against the covenant. They have mixed in their own religion with the true religion. They've mixed in idolatry, pagan gods, along with the true God. And God says, when I drop the plumb line, that stuff's not plumb. That stuff, you guys have gone way out of whack. The walls are all crooked. And mm-hmm. so therefore, I'm knocking everything down. The high places of Isaac are going to be desolate. Now, Isaac is his, you know, the one of the patriarchs. Loves Isaac,
mm-hmm.
but his stuff is going to be desolate now
yeah.
because the people have not done what they're supposed to do according to the covenant, and they've gone along with this lifestyle. Oh, what's wrong with having this other god? We can have a temple to this little god, too, along with the big temple we're going to have for the real god. Mm-hmm. And then what about this other thing? And what about this law over here? We don't really have to follow that. And it goes on and on and on,
mm-hmm.
parallel to what's happening here. Whereas 50 years ago, everything on Sunday was closed.
Right.
To now it's like, hey, you know what? Who are you to say I'm right and you're wrong?
About the only place closed on Sundays now is Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's right. Go to Chick-fil-A and buy stuff. Yeah. And it's, you know, if you hold the plumb line up to God's law, what do we have going on in the world?
Mm-hmm.
What do we have going on in our culture?
A lot of greed, a lot of corruption.
Exactly.
And it's why we're in the situation that we're in, because there is no, you know, I think we're trying to practice a relative moralism.
Exactly.
That, well, okay, I can do this because it seems right in this situation. Mm-hmm. But, well, yeah, I can do that. Well, you know, I'm not hurting anybody.
That's right.
And, you know, I used to think that, you know, I used to think that way before I came back to the Lord.
Sure.
I'm not hurting anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Man, was I wrong.
Yeah. Or what's wrong with being open on Sunday? I mean, we'll take the Sabbath parallel. I mean,
mm-hmm.
your Sabbath is Saturday. What's wrong with being Saturday? I can make more money if I'm open one more day.
Yeah.
I can make, you know, whatever it is, 14% more money if I'm open 7 days instead of 6 days.
Yeah.
And God says, you're not supposed to be open on this, on all 7 days. You're supposed to be open 6 days.
Yeah.
And you go, hey, well, you know what? If we're open on Sunday, we'll use the Christian holy day. You know, if I'm open on Sunday, lots of people will come to my store because after all, everybody's out shopping on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of worshiping and spending time with their family and resting, hey, there's cars everywhere and there's people shopping everywhere mm-hmm. and there's people, you know, when I was a kid, you wouldn't even be able to go to a restaurant on a Sunday.
Yeah. And it's not just the shopping and it's not just the shops. It's now sports.
That's right.
And all the extracurricular activities for the children.
Sure.
Everything is on Sunday.
Do all the housework, cut the grass.
Yeah.
You know, do the yard work.
And, I heard a good message at one of the churches, at one church where Sunday has now become the day that we catch up on everything that we couldn't get done through the rest of the week.
Yeah, that's about it.
And that's about it.
That's right. And when people are in church, they're thinking, okay, when I get home, I'm going to cut the grass. Then I'm going to put the mulch down in that flower bed over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to get cleaned up. We're going to go to the mall. And then we're going to come back. And then we're going to get something to eat. And this is the, you know, the quote, the Sabbath.
This has become our norm.
Right. And if you, as you read through the Torah, if you take up my Torah course, which Stephen has.
No. I got my certificate.
You got a certificate. He did very well on the final. I think he got the highest grade.
I can't boast about that. I'm not going to.
But, you know, if you, as you read through these laws that he mentioned earlier, over and over, God says, keep my Sabbath, keep my Sabbath, keep my Sabbath. If you don't do anything else, keep my Sabbath. I mean, whatever you do, you got to keep the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You don't want to do any holiday, you got to keep the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And we violate the Sabbath continually.
Yeah.
And when we get to the next exile, you know, God's going to keep the people out to make up for all the Sabbaths that weren't observed. Mm-hmm. Because this is a covenant of law that they're in.
Yeah.
And you can see what's happening here compared to what Amos has just told these guys. So now let's go to the reaction that Amos gets. There's this character called Amaziah, who's the high priest in the city of Bethel. Now, remember, the real worship center is Jerusalem. That's where the real temple is. But the northern kingdom in its rebellion made Bethel the capital. So Amaziah says to Amos, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread, there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary. It is his royal residence. So in other words, this is exactly what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
You talking about God and talking about Jesus and talking about Bible stuff, get out of here. We don't want to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
This is America. We have this country. We have this economy. We have this stuff. We do it. Just you shut up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear what you have to say. We've decided this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
We want to be free. We want to have abortion. You say that it's not right, be quiet. You go back to your church and talk about that. Amos, go back to wherever it is you came from and talk to those people over there. We don't want you here.
Amen, bro.
We don't want to hear what you're saying.
Exactly.
You say this is how we're going to define marriage from now on. We don't want to hear that.
Yeah, we're going to redefine it.
We're going to redefine it. Go back to wherever it is you came from. That's what we do here. You go back there. You go back to your church, pastor, and talk to your people about that and leave us alone because we don't agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically what they say to Amos.
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't you read in that same chapter 7, why don't you read 17? This really sums up what's going to happen.
Now, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel. Do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be parceled out by measuring line, and you yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall be exiled from its land.
Oof.
Whoa.
Okay.
Now that's a sentence.
Yes. You don't want, Amos, we don't want you to prophesy here. Okay. Amos says, God says through Amos, okay, you don't want to hear what I'm saying. And guess what? You're in violation of the covenant. You're in violation of my law. And you want to do the things that are forbidden, the things that are detestable, the things that are an abomination. And so guess what? When my judgment comes, your wife is going to be a harlot. Your sons and daughters are going to die. Your land's going to be divided. You're going to die in a defiled land. In fact, you're going to be taken out of this land. Mm-hmm. You're going to go die in another land, and you're going to be led away captive from here. Yeah. In other words, you're going to be destroyed. Your stuff's going to be destroyed. Your families are going to be destroyed, and your land's going to be desolate.
Yeah.
Because you haven't done what I've told you to do.
And a lot of people think that, oh, well, you know, okay, well, if they want that, that's okay. You know, well, they have their own ideas. They want, but then they think it's never going to affect them.
Sure.
But eventually it will. It will affect all of us.
Of course.
It will affect all of us.
That's right. Because God is not mocked.
Right.
And when we know best what the law should be, you know, the kingdom's not a democracy.
No, it's not.
There's never been a vote. No. God never says, okay, let's have a vote about this abortion thing. All in favor, the law is the law.
Mm-hmm.
The moral law is the moral law. And when you decide what the moral law is going to be, there's going to be consequences.
Yeah. I mean, God does not rejoice in the destruction of his creation.
Right, of course. And he certainly doesn't rejoice in the destruction of his own people.
Right.
These are not Babylonians he's talking about. These are Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to destroy them.
Yeah.
Because there comes a point where forgiveness, you know, his patience runs out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to forgive this anymore. You know, I've been patient with this. Grace has been operating. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But after a period of time, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's past the point.
Yeah.
I mean, when is that going to happen for America? When is that going to happen? Well, for the whole world, for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, America is not the only country that's taken down this path.
Sure.
There's a lot of countries that are going down that path.
Yes. And when's he going to run out of patience? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be next week? Is it going to be 5 years from now? I mean, we don't know.
I mean, if you look at things on a whole, as we hear, you know, economic news and those types of things in the news, and just the stuff that's going on in our world, I think you need to look beyond just, you know, our major networks.
Mm-hmm.
You see that people are trying to fix the financial system
mm-hmm.
so that it doesn't collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And for all intents and purposes, we are bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
We've been bankrupt.
Yeah.
I mean, they won't say that,
right.
But it, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got to pay back $16 trillion
mm-hmm.
that we owe.
Our great grandchildren will still be paying on that.
And so how do you keep all this afloat?
Mm-hmm.
How do we keep this afloat? Because if it crumbles, there's going to be a lot of pain, a lot of suffering.
And chaos.
The
streets.
Yeah. So it is, you know, you hear the voice of the prophet in the Old Testament calling out and saying, hey, you're going the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of traveling. And what do I see where there's road construction is left lane closed ahead, right lane closed ahead. Doesn't matter which lane is closed ahead, but everybody's flooring it to get ahead of everybody else. And then you have this massive pileup and traffic jam because everybody has to stop to merge.
Well, that's right.
So
that's right. And you do that turnpike thing, don't you?
Yeah, well, every once in a while. I don't see this too much where they say bridge out. I think people still kind of stop for that one. But they take that one seriously. But it's just the mindset of where we're at in our culture. We have to, do we even reflect upon where are we at?
Yeah.
And have we been taken so far downstream from where we began
mm-hmm.
in our faith
mm-hmm.
that I don't even recognize what I believe anymore?
Yeah.
You know, as a believer in the Messiah, I think every one of us has to take an account for our actions and our thoughts and what we're doing, because we're all going to have to give an account for it.
Yes. For every idle word.
For every idle word. And it's not for me to say, hey, look at that speck in your eye
mm-hmm.
while I've got a log in my own eye. And that's, you know, that's not the point of speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. You speak the truth because it is the truth.
Exactly.
You know, Jesus spoke the truth and he spoke it with authority. And yep. people said, where did he get all this? Yep. Where did he get this authority from?
Yeah.
Well, the authority came from the Creator.
Yeah.
And we have replaced the Creator with the worship of the creature.
Exactly.
We want to be the one who is exalted. Yes. We want to be yes. the one who is lifted up in a high place. Yeah. And,
yeah. You know, which we're going to get to next week when Paul says, when you worship the creature rather than the creator, your mind gets darkened, you mm-hmm. become a fool, and you're given over to a reprobate mind.
Exactly.
And that's where we are, but we're going to do that one next week. Uh-oh.
Oh.
Marty gets us back.
He's back again. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Another break, A Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. And you can hear all the old radio shows on there that Stephen has put on there and some other teachings, and we'll be right back.
Only upon God, for from him is my expectation. My soul wait thou only upon God, for from him is my expectation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. My Messiah only, he only is my rock and the horn of my salvation. Yes, my Yeshua only, he only is my rock and the horn of my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. He is my defense, I shall not be Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai, Adonai Echad. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace and The Word 1220. We're in the final segment. And I just want to read one more passage from Amos, because after this priest Amaziah told him to go away, and after, you know, he said, you can't, we don't want to hear that kind of stuff here. And God replied through Amos, well, you don't want to hear this kind of stuff, but guess what? All your stuff is going to be destroyed and your land is going to be left desolate and you're going to be exiled. Now this is, he's talking about his people, the Israelites, the covenant people. He's not talking about some strange pagan group. But then in chapter 8 and verses 10 and 11, we have something that's for the churches. And I want to talk about what the churches are doing nowadays, where he says, I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. That already happened to me. I will make it like mourning for an only son and its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Whoosh. So when this is going, when you don't want to hear this, when you don't want to follow the covenant, when you don't want to hear somebody telling you you're in violation of the covenant, when you don't want to hear somebody say that you're doing wrong, you're not going to be forgiven anymore, what's going to happen? Not only is there going to be this destruction, not only is there going to be this desolation, but there's going to be a famine of the word. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to hear from God anymore. People aren't going to want to study the scripture anymore. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to want to pray anymore. And we're having this now. You know, never in the history of America has there been such a lack of knowledge about the scriptures as there is now. I think everybody would agree with that.
Yeah.
Even people in churches, you know, studying the Bible's gotten to be kind of a, you know, not really an important thing anymore because we just want everybody to feel good and we want everybody to be happy when they come to church. And
Right. We
want to have seekers come in and say, wow, these people are really fun. We want to hear somebody say, God wants you to have a Mercedes and he wants you to make $200,000 a year. You say, wow, this sounds like a good church.
Amen, brother. Sign me up.
Yeah, this is an awesome church here. I'm going to join up.
We want to be entertained.
We want to be entertained. And those feasts are going to be turned into mourning. Those songs are going to be lamentation. Because when the judgment comes, it says you're going to mourn like for an only son. We hear that again with the prophet Zechariah.
Yeah.
Because when Israel realizes that Yeshua, Jesus, was the Messiah, is the Messiah, they're going to mourn like you mourn for an only son.
Yeah.
This is a hard-hitting punch in the head. You're going to mourn like you mourn for an only son. And it's going to be a bitter day. Because people are going to say, oh, I can't believe this. We got the judgment came on us because we screwed up.
Yeah.
And the churches in our country, the churches in the world, but I like to use our country as an example. We've had a whole bunch of churches recently that have decided to boycott Israel. Because, you know, Israel's oppressing the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does the word say? When you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. When you curse Israel, you'll be cursed.
Yep.
So now here's a group of Christian churches cursing Israel, basically.
Yeah,
we're not going to deal with them because they're evil.
You're bringing the wrath of God upon yourself.
Yes. And, you know, it's not good. And
No.
They're going to have a famine of the word. They don't want to hear the word, so they're not going to hear it.
And even God says, if people continue in a pattern of sin or a habit of sin, God will leave them over to their own mind.
Yes.
And let them be, and let them be.
Yes, exactly.
You don't want me?
Right. He's not going to force himself on us.
Right. He gives us free will to choose.
Yes. But on the other hand, his hand of protection can be removed.
Yes.
His influence on us can be removed.
Yes.
You know, what we call the common grace can be removed.
Mm-hmm.
That all of a sudden, the economy's not as good as it was.
And when that happens, all kind of terrible things start to happen to you.
So all of a sudden, the economy's not as good as it was. The weather's not as good as it was.
You know, I can testify to when my wife and I were not walking with the Lord when we first met. You know, there were things that happened, and we would always have everything that always had a way of working itself out. We believed in God, but we weren't walking with Him. But when we came back to the Lord and started reading Scripture and attending services every Sunday and praying every day, we started to understand that God's protection was with us. He provided for us, even though we weren't walking with Him. But if you continue to walk alone and don't listen to God's voice and don't cooperate with His grace, then His hand of protection will lift from you at some point and say, if that's the way you choose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that has happened here. You know, this country, you know, and we love our country and we want to see our country do well, but we have turned away. Not only have we decided, well, we're not going to pray anymore. We can't mention any of this anymore. You know, there's people trying to get "In God We Trust" off of everything.
Right.
That's our national motto, as it turns out. But, you know, there's people that want to remove it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so far it's okay to be in your church and pray, but we don't want you praying anywhere else.
Right.
And we're going to make sure of that. And we don't want your silly God stuff interfering with what we want to do. And we'll decide what we're going to do. And we are not going to back Israel like we used to do before. And so God says, okay. And he starts to back away. Mm-hmm. And so as it says in Romans 1, your vile passions take over.
Yeah.
He says, okay, you want to live like that? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling away. And eventually you're going to have this judgment that we just talked about on the Northern Kingdom. Even in the churches,
yes,
there's going to be a famine for the word.
Yeah.
They're not going to hear him anymore.
Yeah.
Because they've turned away. So he backs mm-hmm. away. So they say, okay, pastor, you want to do this? He says, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're going to live with this.
Yeah.
You're going to bear the consequences of this.
And the people under that pastor will bear the consequences of it as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, James says, if you're going to be a teacher, you're going to be judged in a high, you're going to be judged in a stricter way.
Yeah.
Then you're responsible for people.
Right.
And when you have denominations that were at one time very conservative Christian now being very liberal and saying that everything has to be tolerated.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be okay. You know, this will be better this way. This is exactly what the people in example number one that we just used were doing.
Yeah.
And then probably, I guess it's going to be next week. We're going to get to example probably. Number two.
We're going to run out of time.
Right? We're going to run out of time pretty soon. But, you know, these are things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
And back in Deuteronomy, he says, you do wrong, consequences. You do worse, bad consequences. You do ultimate bad stuff, desolation, exile, nothing grow in your land.
Yeah.
And that happened.
It'll be left a ruin and a waste.
Yes. And right after this, the Assyrians came into the Northern Kingdom. They totally destroyed everything. They mm-hmm. destroyed Bethel. They destroyed all the worship places. They took people away. They moved into the land. And the Northern Kingdom didn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
It became desolate. They became the ancestors of the Samaritans.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Wow.
Oh, it's the end of the show already. I'm just getting warmed up. Well, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day today. We're going to continue this next week.
And we hope you have a good week, everyone. And see you here next week on The Gift of Grace. God bless, everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.